So for some weeks leading up to this particular Sunday, I've been thinking concerning 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm fully loaded for bear to get into the next little part of those last two verses of chapter 3. But we're not going there. They led to another thing. There's a foundation laid, which led to another thing. And so in these couple of Sundays here, definitely want to talk about the birth of Jesus. It would be expected because it's on the calendar. December 25th is rolling around. And I will tell you as a disclaimer, I'm fully aware of those that are opposed to celebrating Christmas. And Christians, even among our own circles, that, well, we're not supposed to do that because the Bible doesn't talk about celebrating as a day. And I'm going to say, okay, that's fine, but I'm going to lead you also into some scripture that connects that birth, that coming of Jesus, with the reason that he came and cannot be separated. You can't do it. There's details that we don't know, so many details about the birth of Jesus. And we may be looking in either Luke 2 or in Matthew next week. We'll see where God takes my mind. Kind of prepared for that, but I'm also open for changing. This morning, however, I would like to look at, first of all, the word came. When Jesus said, John 10, we're going to go there, I came that they might have life. You cannot separate the word came, I came, from his birth. It's not just that he showed up in Jerusalem one day as a guru. He came. He was sent by the Father that they might have life and have that life more abundantly. Let me show you something kind of fun in John chapter 10. To me, it's kind of fun. John 10, and then we're going to go back to John chapter 5 for reasons known to me and not to you yet. It's so fun to be able to teach. I love it. In John chapter 10, at verse 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. What have we been talking about out of 2 Timothy chapter 3? Actually, chapter 1, 2, and 3 of the deceivers? Of those that are deceived, of those that enter into the households, what is their purpose? To strangulate truth in yet one more person's life. And in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, in the end, men, evil men, will proceed from bad to worse. I cannot wait to get into some of the stuff that the Lord has been reminding me of, having to do with that still, and connecting it with all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for us in those four areas. I really would like to go there immediately right now. But this verse that was my connective verse, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Drop down to verse 22 for the fun of it. What does your Bible say?
Was that Jerusalem at the Feast of the Dedication?
The Feast of Dedication. Did you know that that was not a God-ordained feast? At least from the Bible? And did you know that Jesus went to Jerusalem to celebrate it? Huh. What? The Feast of Dedication is also known as Hanukkah. Hanukkah, that has yet another Hebrew name as well. And what was it based on? Judas Maccabeus, in history, approximately 167 to 165 B.C., they had gone through a cleansing of the temple in Jerusalem after Antiochus Epiphanes came into the temple, ransacked a lot of Jerusalem. But what did he actually do in the temple? Do you remember? sacrificed a pig at least, maybe plural, on God's altar, thus profaning it. And now Judas Maccabeus has said, we have cleansed it, and this is the celebration. They called it, in our English language, the celebration of lights. One of the festive things that they would do was, in their homes, they had candles, apparently, or oil lamps or whatever, lit throughout the home to celebrate that day, years later, 165 years later. No, it's more than that, because we got to add about 32 years or 33 years. Still celebrating Hanukkah, the cleansing of the temple after it was so grossly profaned. Well, Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication. You know what? This feast was not required by God, but it happened, and Jesus was there. Celebrating of Christmas is not required by God, and I believe it is not spoken against by God, but it's happening. What happened at the Feast of Dedication? They remembered what God led them into, bring them back to a right relationship with Him in that cleansing of the temple. And what about Christmas? One of, in fact, I would say still the most popular and most celebrated festive event around this planet. Agatha told me recently she's read an article or heard from somebody that Halloween is catching up to it. That would make sense to me. Satan's always got his way. Let's offset it. I cannot believe that Halloween has yet superseded the popularity of Christmas, but it's on the rise. Okay. So many people around the planet celebrating Christmas, whatever they do in their particular culture or home, there is still the common denominator. We call it Christmas, which is talking about the birth of Jesus. Interesting to me that the Feast of Dedication, right here in chapter 10, it started in the middle of December and went 8 days long. It would have ended somewhere around 25th of December. Ah, I find a little interest with that. Huh. You connect whatever you want to connect. I'm not going to jump to any conclusions, but I find it interesting. It was in the winter. It was cold, and it was in our month of December. Okay, there's Jesus. Here's us today, celebrating Christmas. Am I restricted from it? Yeah, I might be from whatever in my background. Am I celebrating it? I choose to. Why? Because it's life for me. You do what you want in your home and with your family and feel clean before the Lord. The fact is, I believe it is going to provide one more opportunity for people to be without excuse, because they acknowledge the day, but they never believed in the one that it's there for. I am fully aware that Jesus was probably born in September, not in December. But this is the day that's been set apart for whatever reasons. Oh, the pagan holiday. Please understand that pagan holiday ended in somewhere around the 20th of December, not the 25th. It was not there to replace the pagan holiday. Huh. Okay, one more reason to be able to look up and say, who's this about? The Christ of that word that could be Catholic, Christmas. It's about Jesus. It's not about all that we have to drag into it. Certainly not about all the junk. All of the prophets, all of the debt that Christmas is about. That's not Christmas. Okay, let's watch this. Would you please turn to John 5? We'll come back to chapter 10. I came that they might have life. Huh. John chapter 5. Verse 18 gives the setting, the context of who Jesus is going to be talking to. For this cause, therefore, the Jews, and here that word means the antagonistic leadership, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but was also calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And the times that Jesus does that, he never says, "Oh, I didn't mean that. Let me backtrack here." Yes, he's referring to himself as God, as deity, because in fact, that's what he was. Emmanuel, we just sang the word a number of times. God with us. Okay, so that's the setting. They hated him. They wanted to kill him. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them. So all that we're going to read here is for their benefit. Truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And greater works than these he will show him. The reason that you might go, wow, you may marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, there's that term again, I came that they might have life. The Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. I came that they might have life. The Son gives life to whomever he wishes. He's talking about people that are still breathing, kicking, screaming if they want. People that are alive and exercising the right of the day, right? He is talking about people who are alive, who have a daily routine. Each day goes by and they're one day closer to their own death. What is it that he's going to give them as he talks about the Son giving life to them? I came that I might give them life. Verse 22. Chapter 5. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he's given all judgment to the Son. Everything hinges on him. Absolutely. In order that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Too many times in Scripture to miss that one. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have the Father. No matter what your religion, if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. Truly, I say to you that he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has not just life, but eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but has passed, even in this life, out of death into life. There's another life that sets in. And that is what Jesus came to give us. All that he did was to give us that life. Here it's called eternal life, and it's not just talking about longevity. It means that. It definitely means that. Eternal life, man, that's not coming to an end if it's eternal. But at the same time, it is a God quality of life here and now that Jesus says in John 10, and that life more abundantly. Eternal life. I know I'm not telling you anything new. Maybe there's somebody in the room that this is new to. Pray that God would give them ears to hear. Drop down to verse 33. Talking to these antagonistic opponents. You have sent to John the Baptist, and he has borne witness to the truth. They sent to John to see who this Jesus guy was. But the witness which I receive is not from man. But I say these things that you may be saved. You may be rescued out of death and into life. This has the purpose of evangelizing these antagonistic opponents. And it's not a guarantee it's going to happen. I say this and these things so that you may have life, you may be saved. He, John, was the lamp that was burning and was shining, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. So we have John as the witness that the Father sent the Son. We have what Jesus does as a witness. Verse 37, and the Father who sent me, he has borne witness of me. So now we have a third witness. And you, religious, antagonistic leaders in religion and in their culture, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. And they might say, well, how do you know that? He tells them how. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he sent. If you have the word, the truth of God abiding in you, you would believe in the Son. You don't believe in the Son, you've never heard his voice. Verse 39, kicker. Pivotal. You religious leaders of the Jewish people, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. Listen to what Jesus is saying here. They are using the same Bible that you have, only in the Hebrew language, from Genesis through Malachi. You search the scripture because you think in them you have eternal life. They are not looking for the truth, rather than they are looking for a checkoff list to do or don't do. And you think that that is eternal life. You search the scripture. They are not only knowledgeable, many of these are experts in that Old Testament. You search the scriptures because you think that in them, in other words, it has the life-saving truth. And so by following the law, you're going to get saved. And Jesus is about to bring the truth out on that one. You search the scriptures. And let me bring this forward to something we've talked about in the last few weeks of the religious groups among us that also use this same Bible and do not believe this same Jesus. But man, that is their authority. And they try to validate their odd belief system, whatever it might be, by this same Bible. You search the Bible, but you don't believe. And these scriptures that bear witness of me. You're searching the scripture. You think by doing all this stuff, you're getting saved. That's going to come out here in the next couple of verses. But they speak of me. His word doesn't abide in you because you don't believe in me. He sent me that you might have eternal life. The one that believes in me shall be saved. All that's in here. Verse 40. And you are unwilling to come to me. Let's back up in the sentence. 39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, in the keeping of them, in the holding to them. And it is these that bear witness of me, and you are unwilling to come to me that you might have life. You have no life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, that you do not have a love of God in yourselves. This last week, my wife and I did a Medford run. And part of that included Barnes & Noble. And while Star was doing her thing in Barnes & Noble, I happened on the Christian Living section. I told the young people Thursday night about that. And I recommend not buying very many books from that section. Many of them are very deterring and distracting from truth. There are some big faces and some big names that are making some high dollars for their books. And I read some of those. I read what the book is about. There is some ungodly stuff out there branded with a Christian branding, and it is wrong. one of those by a very prominent name today. Let me label it. His name is Joel Osteen. A more recent book about the power of I Am. The name sounded great to me. And I read down through it. And it was the power of saying, I am rich. I am healed. I am, and it went down through this list of stuff. And I'm thinking, you take that high name of God, and you are putting yourself in that place. By the branding of it, the I am. You don't need the book, okay? I'm telling you, there's poison there. There's poison. It is not true. It leads 100% away from the truth. He's not the only one. He is not the only one. There's others with big names on those same sets of shelves. You search the scripture because you think in them. Well, let's put it this way. You have your own particular potion that you've come up with to get saved, and you don't know Jesus. It's not Jesus that was standing out on the shelves by any means, though there's a couple of good books there. Let's go down here a little bit. People don't change, you know. I know you. You do not have a love of God. Verse 43. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another shall come in his own name, you'll receive him. Whoever the name is. Oh, la, 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 la. Feast on the whole thing. But you don't want Jesus. Verse 44. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another? You see, that's what they do with the law. It's basically, how do I look? How do I look? How do I look? You're looking pretty good. Check off list. I'm not doing all these things, and I am doing all these things. How do I look? You're receiving glory from one another. Whew, how can you believe? You do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God. Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses. Moses that wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And whenever the Bible refers to Moses in that fashion, it's talking about all of those five books. The hero of the Hebrews people prior to Abraham, it was Moses. It's Moses that's going to accuse you. Wait, what? What? You can imagine these heads just start jerking. What do you mean Moses is going to accuse us? In whom you have set your hope. There it is. There's the law. There's the keeping of it. And I have hope because I'm able to do this and not do that. Really? Watch what he does. If you believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote of me. Moses wrote of me, Jesus says. There is a movement that's up and coming. It's growing in our United States. Thus, it's going around the world because they look to us, the how-tos of Christianity even, to do away with the Old Testament. Okay? Really. It's a large movement at this point in time. That's not interesting. It's not applicable. Doesn't matter anymore. Just focus on the New Testament. Oh, what do I have then? If Moses wrote of me, and his writing about me has a prominent place, it's prophetic, you throw that away and you have a weaker Jesus at the very best. Moses wrote of me. Where did he write of me? Well, you first see Jesus in Genesis 1 and 2, where God says, let us make man in our image. Then you see him in chapter 3 when God pronounces a curse upon that serpent in that what was a wonderful place called the Garden of Eden. Chapter 3, verse 15. A lot of you have it memorized. I will put enmity, deep, abhorrent separation and hatred, enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman. The woman is a reference point to someone in the future, to your seed, offspring, and her seed, singular, the Lord Jesus. And he shall crush you on the head. Satan's blow that he received at the death and resurrection of Jesus was a fatal blow. And you shall bite him on the heel. Well, yeah, there was the death. There was the rejection. There was the poverty he had. But then, the resurrection. He wrote of me, and you don't believe me. Deuteronomy 18, Numbers 24. These are verses that we repeat at our table every Christmas time. All of these point to Jesus and more. Deuteronomy 18, the Lord shall raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen, and you better listen to him. Moses wrote of me. Okay, back to 46. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, because he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, that's the word we talked about last week, graphe, the written down word that came from God through Moses, if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my, and here's the word rhema, what I'm saying to you? Yeah, you have the Bible, you got to memorize, but you don't believe the one that it talks about. Okay, now go with me back to chapter 10 for a moment. John 10, verse 7. Jesus therefore said to them, by the way, last chapter, verse 40, the Pharisees. He just healed the blind man, had the whole confrontation with them. He's speaking to religious leaders again who don't know him, that don't believe what Moses wrote. So, verse 7. Jesus therefore said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm really not a real smart guy when it comes to English, grammar, etc. So the helpful tools told me this. The word I there, for those that care in the room and understand, emphatic singular pronoun, which means the sole determiner of who enters the fold and who does not. I am the door. He's saying there is no other door. He's about to say, I'm the shepherd. There is no other shepherd. Emphatically, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That's the abundant life that he's talking about. They will continue on getting up in the morning here on this planet, wherever God might move them to, and they will go in and out. That's a just simple wording for doing life, and doing life with God's protection, with God's provision, with God's accompaniment, God's relationship. Go in and out and find pasture. Yes, like David said, even the table set before me in the presence of mine enemy. Shall go in and out. This one that gets saved has eternal life. And find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Oh, I love this. I brought it out before. Not original with me, and I'll repeat it again. I wish I knew the brilliant person that came up with it. It says, you can tell the difference between a sheep and a wolf in sheep's clothing by what they eat. If he's eating grass, you know he's a sheep. If he's eating other sheep, you know he's a wolf. Some of these are liars, they're thieves, they are murderers, and they are in the bookshelf of Christian living in our era. Jesus had them back then. Watch out. You know the difference between the two. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. Down below, he calls it eternal life. Jesus came. Yes, he was born. And yes, I think we can say, praise you, Father, for sending the Son born in that lowly stable in Bethlehem as was prophesied. In the fullness of time, exactly when it was right, Galatians 4:4, the Father sent the Son. Born of a woman, born under the law that he might rescue those that are under that curse of the law. Now, that's a slight loose paraphrase of Galatians 4:4, but it's the nugget of truth. I'll go a little bit further here. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Something that he gave up when he came in order to give me what he had. Don't ever separate the birth from the death. And you cannot separate the death from his life, his resurrection. That is our Jesus. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Drop down to verse 19. There arose a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, I don't get it. He has a demon. Why would they say he has a demon? Because he's saying words that their religious leaders weren't saying. And it seems not right to claim to be God, for instance. Anybody in this room can claim that, but you better prove it. And he did. He has a demon. He's insane. Why listen to him? Others were saying, these are not the sayings of one that's demon-possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of a blind, can he? That's what happened in chapter 9. That's what chapter 9 is about. It leads into chapter 10. It's still going. They're still scratching their head. Can this guy do this? And then say these words. The action that they saw, the healing of the man blind from birth, introduced them to say, who is he? And so he went on to tell them, this is who. And I came. Where did I come from? The Father. Huh. Go a little further here with me. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem, which is not when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The festival of lights in every home, the feast of dedication. And when Jesus leaves this, he leaves Jerusalem the last time until he comes back 4 months later for the Passover when he is crucified as the Passover lamb, which Moses spoke about. Ha! It was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico or porch of Solomon. The Jews therefore gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ or Messiah, tell us plainly. What is wrong with these people? I mean, that particular saying, which they have a couple of times, it's like, you have not been listening, have you? For 3 years since the very beginning of his public ministry, what has he been doing? Pointing to this very thing. Tell us plainly. How much more plainly can I tell you? Well, what's going to come up here? And then watch what they do with it. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And earlier in chapter 5, he tells us how they can become a sheep. By believing the word of God that speaks about him. By believing in him. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them. It is that abundant life. It is a forever life. But it's more than that. That is knowing the Savior now. Having a relationship with God right now, which religion can never, ever give a person. They might better their life. They might be able to leave drugs or alcohol or bad relationships, whatever. But to get saved is to know the Father, to know the Son, to know the Spirit of God. Do you know him? Is the question. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. They shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. And Jesus gets into this image that I've quoted many, many times. You see this gripped fist. Something inside it that you're not going to break loose from that fist. I give eternal life to them. They shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now we have this image of another hand that's even bigger over that of Jesus. Go ahead and try. You can't. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I and my Father, or the Father, are one. Note in my Bible, it's a neuter that refers to a togetherness of the two, a unity or one essence. What did the Jews hear? They took up stones to kill him. If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. I'm the Messiah. They picked up rocks. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father, like the healing of the blind man. For which of them are you stoning me? The Jews answered, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. They heard him plainly, but they didn't hear him with their heart. I came that they might have life. The thief comes, the liars come, those to steal, to kill, to destroy, and they're still among us, and they're going to increase in this end. That's where 2 Timothy 3 calls our attention. So we have to be wary. Yes, they are in the guise sometimes of a sheep or a Christian shepherd, and they are not the same. Is it Jesus who is being pointed to? Is it Jesus who is receiving the glory? Or is it their particular pocket that's getting fuller and fuller, and their particular name that's getting bigger and bigger? And truly, what Jesus said, they shall receive their reward in full, is happening. You need all that? You're getting all that. And then you're going to have eternal punishment, according to Jesus, in the lake of fire, according to Jesus, for all eternity, according to Jesus. He came. Yes, he was born. Let's sing about it. You know? Let's shout about it. Let's say, thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus. He couldn't come in any other way but through Mary's womb. No other way. That was the plan of the Father and the Son and the Spirit of God. Christmas time. Shall I celebrate it now or just in September? Well, you can do that in September and you can have a great time doing it. But because of the rest of the world is celebrating it right now coming up, maybe it's good to join so that you can point to the truth. Who is it that's being glorified here? Oh, Walmart. Great. I'm sorry. I could have picked 1,000 other stores, online or off. You got the point, though. Is it the Lord Jesus? Let me open it up to you. Interaction. Questions or comments?
Your comment on people wanting to get rid of the Old Testament. A few weeks ago, I was remembering how often in my childhood I heard the statement, the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. You know, and it was like, no, that can't be so. And plus the fact that the first sermon we heard preached, or was preached after the resurrection, was where Jesus went back through all the Old Testament showing what it was.
Absolutely. The sermon that I'm so sorry Luke did not record. I got a good idea. I got a list of those Old Testament sightings, but I'm sure there's a few more he might have alluded to.
And the books in the Christian bookstore, like you said, so many of them you can label apocryphal. Just like the ones that were rejected.
Labeled as that.
So many years ago.
Nothing new under the sun, a wise guy once said. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know if anyone's been to Bethlehem. Because I watched these guys that were touring Israel with no money. And they paid this taxi cab, 100 shekels, to get a ride to go see where Jesus was born. And he took them to Bethlehem. And they went to a church, and this church was built over a cave that used to be a stable. And down there, just like in his tomb, they had hewn the rock to, like, you know, form a manger or a place to keep water or food. And Anyway, that's all. I just, my whole life, I'm looking at the nativity scene over there. Anyway, I'm just wondering, does anyone know if that's true?
Yeah. What we can know is that's a long time tradition that that was the spot,
yeah.
But we don't know for certain that was the spot. And you know what? It's okay by me. I, you know,
yeah,
of interest.
Local, I just want to say the locals seem very.
I understand.
Yeah, okay.
I understand. Totally understand.
Yeah,
sure.
Two things. One about the Old Testament. It was often used as a guide, a ruler for us, and still is, as to what we should and shouldn't do. We eliminate that, and it eliminates a whole lot. Maybe the new people in the Christendom don't want that example, and that we don't want the punishment, maybe. I don't know. It, to me, it seems very odd that you would want to get rid of a part of it. It has so much to instruct and to teach, and it shows the graciousness of God in the New Testament. Secondly, I'm just going to throw this out as a barn keeper. Whether the inn was underground in a cave or was part of a hostel or whatever they wanted to call them, they were rather clean, especially around the feeding areas. If it's a good place, there was constantly a new strewn of hay or straws put down for the animals so that they didn't get sick, that they would be well. They didn't want a mucky, stinky place for the places. And where the manger, where the feed comes out of, it has new fresh hay placed in it daily, sometimes several times, depending on the rotation of the clientele. So a manger at that time might actually be slightly cleaner than rooms were kept.
Hotels especially.
Yeah. So, you know, the manger, we think of a humble place, but it could have been that it was a better, cleanlier, maybe, place. But in general, most cared for barns and manger areas don't reek. They are semi-clean.
Okay.
Can I say one more thing real quick? The willful, the Bible talks about it. Willful ignorance.
Yes. Yes, it does. It absolutely does. Go ahead, Cliff.
Of the time and all that, of when, you know, do we know the actual date? Well, last night at my house, we celebrated two of my daughter's birthday, not on her birthdays.
No.
We do that all the time. Nobody questions and says, I'm not going to show up at your house to celebrate your birthday, not on your birthday. So let's give it some slack.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it, yes.
You know, studying through this portion of Scripture this season for me, I've been really struck by the miracle of the birth, but also the miracle of John the Baptist's birth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how both of those miracles were just like for us. And, you know, for me in particular, because of having my experience with a quote-unquote modern John the Baptist in the form of Keith Green, it really struck me how, you know, God is chasing us. He's after us, you know, and He's sending people to us. Will we listen? Will we be sensitive enough to hear?
Thank you.
I'd like to touch on the Old Testament going away. We all know here that Christ Himself said not one jot or tittle would be taken away from the Word of God, and we can be rest assured that it's not going away. Especially when I go to the thrift store and all the Bibles that men were persecuted to write are selling for $3 a piece. So there's ample Word out there.
Thank you. Somebody else have a hand up or lady?
Yeah, well, I was... The people, you know, like I said, who want to do away with the Old Testament say it's not applicable. First thing I was thinking of the road to Emmaus, but when Matthew Jesus rose, concerning himself. But I found also another time when he appeared. After the resurrection, where He said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding and my comprehension concerning me.
And that's Luke 24?
Yeah, that's Luke 24. It's 44. And I really liked it. He could have come in any way, but then he came as a baby and grew up. It's so wonderful because nobody can say, well, he doesn't understand what it's like to be a kid or a teenager because he experienced being a human, you know?
Amen. Yeah. Hebrews refers to that as well. He's experienced all things like us. The birth of John the Baptist was not a normal birth. There was nothing normal about it, except had a dad and had a mom. Both of them were too old to have kids. Everything about it was abnormal. Probably everything about him was abnormal, except he was human, like us. He was no different, humanly speaking. And when they said, "Are you the one?" He said, "No, it's him." He was that individual that absolutely pointed to Jesus, whose birth was very different than any other birth. You could not have told the person back then, well, he wasn't really ever born. No, every one of them knew it. Now we say that to, well, I didn't see it. Well, duh. There's witnesses that did. Even those that rejected him and hated him pointed to that. And then as we sang this morning, maybe again next week in a different song, what was he born of? A virgin. And everybody's saying, sure. Scandal of a virgin birth. Yeah, sure. There were ones that knew that, including him. And he never apologized as an illegitimate child because he wasn't. He was the Son of God. Product of the Holy Spirit who impregnated Mary. That birth was different. Don't try to make it the same. But it was a birth. Right out the birth canal. After the 9 months, the normal way. Everything else? This is the Son of God, Emmanuel. Why did he come? Oh, because he just wanted to hang out for a while? To give them life. And that life more abundantly. I have to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me life. Now increase that abundantly part. It's not about money. It's about closer walk with Him. It really is. Sam, let's go ahead.
I just want to say, I'm really thankful He gave us those 2 words. He came. What a great focus. He came.
You're welcome.
It stood out to me, obviously. Let's stand together. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to lay up His treasure. How great the pain of sin, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen bring many sons to glory. Behold the shoulders, ashamed to hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. Die.
Michael, would you lead us, brother, please?